Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 9, we were taught that even with all the death and destruction that is going on, men still refuse to repent and turn to God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now notice also in verse 19, their tails are like serpents, and they do hurt. Do hurt seems to indicate the torture of those who are captured. What will be those oriental tortures that are used in the tribulation? Well, we're not told. Presently in our country, we're discussing about waterboarding while torturing our people. You know, we think of that waterboarding where they get some water going down their nose and so forth. They're upside down and it feels like they're drowning. And they're able to use this quite effectively from what I understand. But then our people that are captured by the other side, wow, they're in too excruciating, no hold backs, pain. But nonetheless, we're not told what this torture will be. And although the second woe is not mentioned until 11:14, I believe since chapter 10 is a parenthesis, that this is part of the second woe and is consistent with the wording of chapter 8, three woes to follow. Now the foolish abomination then is going to be seen here in verses 20 and 21. We saw the four angels and the fierce army. Now see the foolish abomination in verses 20 and 21. There we read, "And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." The effects of the two trumpets of this chapter, even with the death and torture that goes on, still does not lead those who are left to repent. The ignorance of their religion is shown as they repent not and continue to worship the works of their hands. This is a setting for the golden calf. They're settling for the golden calf, the image of the beast, the creations of our hands and minds cannot be our guides, my friend. To be able to make something with our hands and then to bow down and worship it as if it was greater than us? To do this is to embalm and bury the living Word of God. One would think, with these judgments and this death and all that's gone on around them, that it would lead people to repent. But, as the children of Israel in the wilderness that saw all the miracles and continued to harden their hearts, it happens again. And how often do we as Christians ignore warnings from God's Word and get mad at the preacher, the teacher, or other Christian who warns us? For an example, one of the theologies preached today is a liberation theology. And so in the name of Christ, liberation is for the black man being freed from the oppressive white man. For the third world country is being freed from oppressive government. For some Christians, so-called churches, I don't know if Christian's the right name, churches, religious people, it's being freed from holiness, standards of holiness, that the flesh might be fulfilled. And they do it under liberation, saying Jesus has liberated you to do these things, instead of showing that we're shackled by religion, that we're shackled by sin, and we need a Savior who will cleanse us from our sin and from all of our unrighteousnesses and give our lives to Him. You ever wonder, why don't people repent? I look at chapter 9, I can't understand why these people won't repent, but then I look around me and I say, why don't people repent when they see the things that are happening in this world today? Well, the depravity of the human heart, hardened by sin, is very apparent for us to see in this passage. But we also see it in our society today. Our text tells us they even worship devils. Their spiritism and seances, and perhaps they'll even grow and abound since so many loved ones are dead and missing. No, I don't have a Buddha. I also don't have a crucifix. I don't carry an angel pin on my lapel or any other like idol that cannot walk, talk, or hear. I wonder, is God more insulted by a crucifix, since He is a spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth, than He is by the Buddha of a heathen? When you look at part of the Ten Commandments, we're told not to make an image of anything that is in heaven. Isn't God in heaven? In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15 through 19, we read this admonition. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. In other words, there was no great image that you saw. All there was a smoking fire and there's quaking of the ground. And the voice of God, but you didn't see an image of anything. Lest ye corrupt yourselves, he goes on to say, and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. Now, my friend, I believe that's very clear. God doesn't want an image of anything. And he even said here in Deuteronomy 4:15 that He purposely did not appear to them in any similitude, in any kind of a form, because He didn't want them making an image of that form. That's why I wonder if a crucifix is a slap in the face to God, and Satan laughs every time somebody names the name of Christ and puts it on. What a shame. What a terrible shame that is. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, it says, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And heaven is mentioned first in this order of importance in that verse. By the way, those who say repentance is a work will have a hard time with these two verses. Now, some might say, well, it's a different dispensation, although it's still the time of the Gentiles. But remember this. Jesus, in Mark 1:15, said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Isn't that interesting? Repent and believe. And that was Jesus. The Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There's repentance and faith again. Acts 17, 30 and 31, we've had Jesus, we've had Paul, now here's God the Father. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Again, we see that repentance is preached, and God even commands repentance and faith. Now understand, the blood of Jesus Christ is what saves. It's not our repentance, and it's not our faith. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves. However, that blood is appropriated to our account by repentance and faith. Jesus does the work. Look again there at verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. So he continues to point out their non-repentance. Their non-repentance with idols, you might say, with corrupted worship, which we have a lot of corrupted worship going on in our churches today. They're rock and rolling like they do in the nightclubs. I believe that what they do is they never really repent. They go to church and they want to have the music, the dress, and the look of the nightclub, but they don't have the alcohol and the drugs so that they can have all what they call the fun without the guilt. And they've tried to cover it. And, my friend, that does not cover it. And the one that's deceived the most, well, it's you. It's you. So, there's no repentance of their idol worship in verse 20, their corrupted worship. But now, verse 21, we see four more sins listed, showing they are prevalent in the tribulation.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, May God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.